Christmas, I gave you my heart, but then the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I gave it to someone special, special. So we got married, and finally gremlins didn't interrupt it, and then we kissed. Yeah.
Well, hello there.
Welcome to He Saw, She Saw.
If you're just joining us, I am Corey.
And I am Keith.
And we love movies.
Just not the same ones.
So every episode, we watch a movie that we love.
But the other would never watch unless we were doing a podcast.
And then we talk about it.
Yay! We're back!
We're back, baby!
We've had a very busy past few months. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're both on break. So
yeah,
winter break, let's watch some movies.
Hopefully our appliances will stop breaking.
Yes.
That would be lovely if the appliances could stop breaking.
That would be great.
And we could stop replacing them.
Yeah, and would have a home warranty that would actually pay for it. But that would be nice too. So, yeah, but enough about that, I think.
Well, no, because we're getting a water heater for Christmas, Keith.
Yes, we are.
Hopefully before it really starts flooding.
Yeah, after our washer and our refrigerator and our dishwasher.
And our dryer and caught on fire with actual flames.
This is fine. It's fine.
You didn't know when you were buying me that this is fine dumpster fire that it was going to be for a purpose.
Yes, it is a nice reminder for our life. But the great news is the stuff happens, and I can't believe I get to be married to you. So.
Aww. Well, so we tried to do a October Halloween episode, and that went sideways very fast.
Yeah, whole backstory. That's not needed.
Well, I do want to say the Keith's movie was evil, and I couldn't watch it.
Okay, that's fair. That is true. Although I did enjoy you crawling up my back onto my shoulders with your eyes closed in the fetal position, wow, trying to hide from it.
That is a visual. So we decided to just kind of, it was 3 months ago, so we're just going to scrap that idea. So it's Christmas. It's a couple days before Christmas. So we thought, you know what? Let's just move right on to Christmas movies.
There we go. And here we are.
Do I tell you what you're going to watch first, or how does this work? I can't remember.
Yes, you tell me what we're going to watch first.
So you have to set me up.
Okay.
That's a good setup. We're watching.
I was mooning you, so I don't know what other signal would you want. I'm just confused now.
Okay. Improv. You have to set the person up.
Oh.
So that they can say what they need to say.
No, but I... So, Corey, what cinematic gem do I get to watch this time?
It was really, really hard to pick because I have a lot that I love. And actually, at our house, we watch Christmas movies all year round.
Yes, both my wife and daughter believe that Christmas is a year-round holiday.
Well, Christmas movies are a year-round viewing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we should do more than one Christmas episode because there's more than one Christmas movie that I would like to explore.
Yeah, well, we've just gone 3 months with zero episodes, so let's just do one at a time. Let's get them going.
So you will be watching Fred Claus with Vince Vaughn.
Yes.
And Paul Giamatti.
Uh-huh.
And Kevin Spacey. Mm. You're going to love it. Vince Vaughn is funny. Oh, the DJ, Chris. Yeah, Ludacris is in it, too.
Okay.
He plays the elf.
Oh, there's going to be a DJ who's an elf. I can't wait. This is just checking all the boxes.
Rachel Weisz is in it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, and that's then what you should have led with. You should have led with Vince Vaughn.
I'm going to, and I forgot.
Rachel Weisz and Paul Giamatti, but I wouldn't care because I've had a bad feeling about that movie ever since I saw the preview for it. I was just like, yeah, it's not for me.
Well, I have not been able to get you to sit down and watch it with me, so this is perfect. So what movie do I get to watch, Keith?
You get to watch a movie that I have seen a grand total of.
One time.
Exactly. Bringing it back, baby. I didn't realize how I don't watch movies repeatedly normally. Like when I was young, I used to all the time.
It's not just
and I just... Woo. We got a little snot icicle going on. Woo. Over there.
Anyway, so, you didn't realize.
I didn't realize. I really only watch movies once now. Mm-hmm. And I evidently have only done that for like decades. I only watch a movie once because...
And you're like, it's great!
Yeah. So it is a somewhat non-traditional Christmas movie that kind of takes a long way around. Billy Bob Thornton and Lauren Graham is the love interest. And it is just...
And what's the movie called?
It's called Bad Santa.
Okay. Ugh. Blech.
Don't worry, I've got the unrated version. That's what we'll be watching on DVD.
Wonderful. I've tried to throw it away a couple of times. And
you... Oh, I've noticed.
We don't need this, right?
Notice whenever you're taking something to Goodwill, I'm always like, oh, hey, what you got there?
Oh, how'd that get in there?
Wow. Well, now we got it on tape. So are you ready for Fred Claus and Bad Santa?
I am definitely ready for Fred Claus. I'm going to need a minute for Bad Santa.
Ho, ho, ho.
Who are you calling a ho? Merry Boxing Day. Boxing Day.
Yeah, day after Christmas, right?
Uh-huh.
And you have to give your mailman lots of money or something like that? Or
I think that's when you take everything back.
No, I think it's you take the food and you put it in a box. And then give it to your mail carrier because of all the work they're doing.
Really? So it's like a national mail carrier holiday.
I thought so.
In Australia.
I thought England, but okay.
Oh, I think it's Australia. I'm going to ask your cousin or your many cousins who live there.
Well, two, but yeah, sure.
Which means we got to go to Australia.
I would love to go to Australia.
Well, and we did do a list last night of where we're going to go on our vacation.
And introduced our daughter to the concept of ranked voting, and yeah, it was amazing.
It was an eye-opener for me when I started realizing the math that was going to go into it.
Oh, yeah.
So I left the room. What was the ranking of the three of us? How did that shake out?
New York was first, and then we've got it somewhere, so.
I threw it away.
What?
Well, do you know how many pieces of paper were laying on the floor last night?
All right, well, I'm not telling her.
Usually I wait till she
I'll bring
forgets.
It up. I'll be like, oh, hey, where's that list from last night?
Well, also, yesterday it was 80 degrees on Christmas, and so the ice cream man came by. So mm-hmm. bought her a snow cone.
There you go.
So she
like
ate
you
it.
Do.
She was eating it, and then she was like, I'm going to come back to it later. I was like, okay, cool. And I thought she had sufficiently forgot about it, so I threw it in the trash. And then about 4 hours later... Mom, can I finish my snow cone? And I was like, oh, you know, it's kind of late. And you've had so much sugar today. Maybe tomorrow? And then hopefully she'll forget about it.
So great. So you're going to get to make a snow cone today.
Ice cream, I come back.
See, that's why I don't do that with her. It's like, you've got to eat it all. No, we're eating it, and I'll help you. But like, no, you're not saving it for later. So
I just wanted her to stop eating it because she was making a huge mess.
Yeah, I also don't believe in leftovers, so...
No, I know that. Your whole family has a problem with that.
Mm-hmm. So, speaking of dysfunctional families.
Whoa!
Well, not dysfunctional.
Your family's not dysfunctional.
No, my family's amazing. But we watched Fred Claus. Yep. So, how did it hold up?
It always holds up. I watch it every year. Like, well, all year long, really. So, the last time I saw it was probably a couple months ago.
It was a movie. So.
Coming in hot. No, I just love Vince Vaughn, and I pretty much am positive that they let him just improvise. And my favorite thing in the world is to watch Vince Vaughn improvise and
probably
dance.
Probably easiest job in the world is to be a writer on a Vince Vaughn film, because you know he'll just see it as a suggestion.
and he'll
go for it.
Yeah. However, I would not want to be an editor on a Vince Vaughn movie.
That's true.
Because that would take months.
50 takes for every scene.
Do you have a pitch for this movie?
Yeah. When the stress of the season gets too much for Santa, it is up to his underachieving brother, Fred Claus, to save Christmas. And I also apologize. I've had dental work, and so the right side of my face is currently numb because it's driving me insane. So I have about
a hole in your
basically lungs. Gargled a whole tube of oral gel right before we did this. So.
And I have a cold still after 3 weeks, so I might...
We're falling apart.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. So we open... A long time ago. I don't think we say when. With a fairy tale voice, and it's like Middle Ages. And we see the birth of a perfect little baby, Nick. And his older brother comes down the stairs.
Frederick,
who promises to be the best big brother ever. And I guess I should mention that Kathy Bates is the mother. Unfortunately, being the best big brother ever is tougher than you think, because little Nick literally is perfect.
He's a saint.
Kathy Bates calls him... her little Saint Nick about 50 times in a 3 minute span, just in case we missed it. While Nick is jolly and is nice and very, very giving, he's not very empathetic. He does good things, but doesn't think about the
consequences.
Yeah, the other people around him sometimes. For instance, Frederick is just having a day, even though he's 12. He has found this tree that he likes to climb up and just be by himself, so he doesn't have to be around his perfect little brother and listened to his parents, and he has a little bird companion named Chirp Chirp, who he talks to.
He built a little house for him.
And so little Saint Nick cuts down the tree while he's in the middle of talking with Chirp Chirp, who is the only one who understands him. The whole tree falls over, and it destroys the birdhouse. And Chirp Chirp flies away.
And he never comes back.
That's kind of what he's dealing with.
But he did it because he noticed how much Frederick loved the tree. So we're going to put it inside and put presents under it. Mm-hmm. Oh, what fun!
Yeah. So you can see Frederick turning into the Grinch, his heart growing one or two sizes too small.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I feel bad about in the movie is when the mom constantly is like, why can't you be more like your brother? And it's like, ooh.
Yeah, as a teacher, I never do that because I have siblings all the time as a high school teacher, mm-hmm. especially when the student was like a super A superstar student. I will literally take the younger one aside and say, your brother or sister was great. I know you're great in your own way. You don't ever have to be your older brother or sister. So we find out that Nick literally grows up to be a saint and becomes the Saint Nick that we know and love. However, in the world of saints, they get to become immortal in this world, mm-hmm. as do their immediate families.
All their family.
Which is completely problematic, and I guess we'll get to that at the end. But so they all get to be frozen in time at like the specific age that I guess Santa Claus became a saint.
Which is funny because Santa looks way older than Fred.
Oh, yeah.
Even though Fred's the older brother. So they got frozen in this age that they were. See, is this like the Santa Claus where the sanctification process?
I don't know. A lot of this movie, just don't think. Just go along with the ride. So we fast forward maybe 1,000 years.
Thousands of years.
To see that Fred, played by Vince Vaughn, is now a fast-talking repo man. So he has his first opportunity to improvise. Goes at it full board as he is explaining to this little 9-year-old who's really pissed that the 55-inch plasma is being taken out of her room. For this entire movie, he's full-on swingers, old-school wedding crashers.
The first time I ever experienced Vince Vaughn was Swingers, and I hated him. I couldn't even finish the movie. I don't even remember, because he just wouldn't shut up. And I was just like, I hate you. I can't. Also, Jack Black, I hated him the first time.
From High Fidelity?
Yeah, I hated it.
I feel like we have another Vince Vaughn double feature maybe coming out in the future. So we all, this is the part of the movie we have to meet all the people and Fred Claus's life.
People helping people.
So we see that his girlfriend is Rachel Weiss.
I love her.
Who has the most un-Rachel Weiss name ever. It is like Wanda Blinkowski.
Yeah, but
and
she's
I
from
will
London.
Die on this hill that that is just what Vince said. Name was Wanda, and he just said Blinkowski. Anyway, Wanda Blinkowski.
From London.
From London, is a meter maid in Chicago. Wanda's upset at Fred because she had brought up, we've been dating, we find out later, for over 3 years. And they haven't moved in together. And so she broaches the conversation. He ghosts her for 2 days. He does a comedic monologue to get her on her side again. And then it turns into, do you know what tomorrow is? And that's, you would think would be a 1-second bit, but it turns into a 30-second bit.
Tomorrow.
I can't imagine having a person like this in my life. And then we find out it's her birthday. Fred has completely forgotten that it's her birthday the next day. So he just BS's with the billboard that's up near them that he's taking her to the Bonsai Palace, which is
this cool new place.
Cool new place. It's happening. You better dress up.
And she's like, Bonsai Palace? Where have I seen that before? And like the billboard's like right behind her. And my other favorite is she was talking about her last birthday, about how he told her, like, brush up on her French, baby. And she mm-hmm. bought all those French tapes. Mm-hmm. And he took her on a riverboat. Gambling in
Indiana,
and he's like, I did the French thing to throw you off the set, and she's like, but I got all those French tapes. He's like, and you will have that, and that's
a part of you now for the rest of your life. You're welcome,
baby.
And that's where she says, I can't say magic. So the other really important person in his life is a 9-year-old African American kid named Slam, played by Bobby.
I feel like they let him improvise too. Like that scene where they're sitting on the couch.
Bobby J. Thompson. Yeah, I was super impressed because Vince Vaughn, like he's going to look at a script. during this scene is clearly improvised.
Yes.
And Bobby is just keeping up with him.
Yes.
Just like, and it was very cool too because he doesn't get any of the punchlines.
No. But he sets but Bo- him up.
Bobby's catching what Vince is selling and throwing it right back at him to set up the next next punchline.
When he tells him to put two hands on the milk. Two hands on the milk.
Yeah, yeah. You're better than that.
I love that kid.
So unfortunately, we learn that Slam, again, he just appears on the fire escape.
Climbs to the window.
When Fred is home.
He's staying at his grandma's.
And so, yeah, we find out that he's got a really bad situation. Fred Claus is the positive role model for his life.
It's his escape, I think.
It's one of the cruxes of this movie and one of the difficulties of this movie is that, you know, Vince Vaughn is a complete scumbag in this movie. But he's a lovable scumbag. And he's kind of got that kind of heart of gold that you can that barely peeks out every once in a while. And again, that's why the Wanda character stays with him. It's clearly like, okay, he's fast talking, he's a moron.
At the core.
But he's good at the core. The next morning, Fred Claus is in the middle of a restaurant space right across from the Chicago Stock Exchange.
Yeah. And the Chicago Mercantile.
Right? Mercantile Exchange, yeah. So he wants to set up an off-track betting, which would be in some ways like the perfect place that you would see Fred Claus.
Right.
Would be at one of these OTB horse racing gambling places where he's taking everybody's money.
Across the street from the traders.
Yeah. So the guy who's renting the place is like, okay, it needs to be 50,000 by the 22nd. And then we have another Vince Vaughn will never do a 30-second scene when he can do a 5-minute one.
22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th. Like whatever.
Yeah. And so he needs now $50,000. And you look at him and he's like, ugh. And he looks across the street and sees a Santa Claus ringing a bell for the Salvation Army. And so it takes him 2 seconds to go, huh. And so very next scene, he's got a Santa hat, a very professional looking sign that says,
I thought so too.
People helping people. Yeah. And so he's fleecing anybody within earshot of him to take
like
as much money.
20s more than, I was like, 20s?
Yeah, I'm like taking like whole handfuls, like looking at the wallets and just grabbing the whole money and putting it in.
Giving kisses to the ladies.
But then he calls over to somebody who was about to give to the Salvation Army and starts talking smack. And so that gets the official Salvation Army Santa upset. Very quickly, Fred Claus is surrounded by Santas.
The convergence of Salvation Army.
Because Santas. You have to have a permit.
They
and
all
so,
leave their buckets, by the way.
But they're all locked, but yeah, but still.
You can't pick up a bucket and walk away?
That's true. Again, this movie, don't think.
Okay.
And so they race into a toy store, and then they have a fight, and then next thing you know, of course, Fred Claus is in jail. And so he tries to call Wanda, but she's at the Bonsai Palace, which is not a
romantic
Japanese restaurant. So there's a small sumo cage in the center of this restaurant, which is kind of like if Dave and Buster's did Benihana's.
Benihana, yeah.
Kind of put those together.
There's all these men at the table screaming.
So she is just obviously very upset. With no one left to turn to, he calls Santa to bail him out. And again, they have a improvised conversation for 2 or 3 minutes. Initially, he just gets the $5,000 for the bail, but he can't help himself. Fred makes the play for the $50,000. He says, hey,
I'm going to make you some money on this deal.
Yeah. He's like, hey, this is what I want you to do. You're going to send me put a 50 on top of the 5. I'm going to give you 10. Let me percolate on it a bit. I'm going to make your 50 into 60. And
I just gave you $5,000. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that math.
Oh, no. Well, you're not supposed to.
Okay. No one is.
So Santa, played by a very stressed Paul Giamatti, is like, I don't understand. Mrs. Claus is right next to him in bed.
Oh, she is not having
And that. She wanted to cut off Fred a long time ago. Santa is like, look, I'll give you the money, but you have to work at it. With no other options to get the $50,000 in the short amount of time he needs it, he's got to go to the North Pole.
But Santa's very proud of himself because he thinks that's tough love.
Yeah. Mrs. Claus, played by, I think, Miranda Richardson.
Is it really? Oh, my God. You're right.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that till just you said that.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense now. Sorry.
Yeah. So she's
having
like,
an epiphany.
You got to show tough love. And he's like, I'm a saint dear. Tough love's a little difficult for me. He sees the best in Fred. He calls over for his head elf, Willie, played by a digitally shrunk John Michael Higgins, to go pick up Fred. He's got to get to the North Pole. So sent the slain reindeer over. So they fly up to the North Pole and they almost immediately run into Santa's little helper named Charlene, played by a not digitally shrunk Elizabeth Banks.
Regular size Elizabeth
Again,
Banks.
don't think much in this movie. Don't think.
She's a human.
Willie is obviously very infatuated by Charlene here, played by Elizabeth Banks. Can't even can remember his name. So the next day, Fred gets a tour of the whole operation. It's going to be in the naughty or nice department where he's got to look
it
over.
It's just the cog in a wheel, Keith.
Yeah. And so...
Did you know that that's where I got that from?
I was guessing, yes.
Whenever anyone wants me to run something, I go, hey, I just want to be a cog in the wheel.
Yeah.
I don't need to run things.
And I've heard this only about 6 times over the past 48 hours since we watched this movie.
But also before that.
Yeah. Fred isn't the only visitor to the North Pole. Mm-mm. Because an efficiency expert named Clyde, played by creepy Kevin Spacey, who has always done creepy even before we knew how creepy Kevin Spacey was.
Yeah. Northcutt, which is a...
Which wasn't in
good name.
Which wasn't in the script.
It wasn't?
I think Paul Giamatti might have come up with that off the top of his head.
I think he's going to cut the North Pole.
He's going to cut the North Pole. Santa's in a bit of trouble because he's been falling more and more behind and cutting it closer and closer and closer because of the amount of toys that kids have asked for and the complexity of those toys. The board has said, we're sending Clyde in, and Santa's got 3 strikes or he will be shut down forever. So, and not to take it personally, because they're letting go of the Easter Bunny. Tooth Fairy's moving down to 1 tooth per kid.
You lose your first tooth, good for you, but come on.
Yeah. Paul Giamatti, I've got to say, plays just an amazing stressed Santa this whole movie.
He's almost like the guy in Sideways.
He is just always, like, fidgeting, and you can just tell he's stressed, which is, like, again, it's a huge operation.
He's not drinking the effing Merlot.
Well, it's one of the things that's so funny about it is just that Paul Giamatti is such a good actor. It's like, of course that's what Santa would be like. Or that's, of course, an interpretation of Santa. Because he's still nice, still sees the best in everybody. But it's like, you know,
but he's got a lot on his plate.
Hey, he's got a 200 elf operation going. As this is being explained to an increasingly stressed out Santa, Fred has already had a day in a couple hours. So he has used basically the naughty or nice cam, this like crystal ball thing, just to check up on Wanda. He looks her up and she's being asked out by a 10 times slicker than Vince Vaughn, Javier Bardem.
I was going to say, was that Javier Bardem?
Oh, yeah. He played it perfectly. I think I'm going to go on a date with him. That's how clean that pickup was.
Oh, yeah.
Wanda's like, well, I don't have a boyfriend, but she doesn't flat out take the offer of a date, but she takes his card and it appears that she's going to go on a date with him. So he's already kind of a little upset. And then we have this little DJ elf played by Ludacris, who keeps playing Here Comes Santa Claus on loop, yelling in between, shouting out the person who's requested it. This, I have complete agreement with Fred. I was already about to throw something.
Well, I hate Christmas music.
You do not hate Christmas
music. I don't like to listen to Christmas music.
Every time we're in the car from like November, you put on and you keep, you always complain because you're like, ah, I got Wamageddon. And it's like, you listen to Christmas music every time you're in the car.
No, that's a request from your child.
Okay.
But when most Christmas songs are stupid.
Okay.
I like 5 of them.
We're rewriting history. It's all right.
I don't like Christmas music. Mm-hmm. I like 5 songs, and they're like the serious, beautiful ones. And Last Christmas. So I don't mind getting Whamageddon in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, our daughter was like, wait, let me get this straight. So you're playing a contest where you don't win anything, and you don't get to listen to your favorite song. And I was like, yeah. And she goes, that's stupid.
In many ways it is.
Whamageddon. Yeah. Anyway, so sorry.
Fred cannot take another Here Comes Santa Claus. So he goes in, gets in this weird little fight with Elf Ludacris, who's also digitally.
Little fight because he's little?
Yeah. Throws him in the closet and then plays Rubbernecking by Elvis Presley.
I had never heard that song until this movie.
I hadn't either. So we get to see Vince Vaughn dancing. And he gets the whole North.
And it looks like he's at Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. And he's just basically got the whole factory in a mosh pit with diving and dancing and so on and so forth. And that's
surfing, babe.
And that's the moment that Santa opens up the door to show Clyde how efficient everything is. And he's like, oh no. So Clyde clicks the pen because that's strike number one. So,
because in the meantime, all the bicycles are falling off the assembly lines.
And the wrapping paper is going everywhere. The next 10 to 20 minutes is just Clyde trying to needle the brothers against each other and cause as much havoc as possible. It's very clear that Clyde wants Santa to fail. He takes the letters from the kids.
And he starts shredding
them,
yeah,
so that Santa doesn't know what presents they have to make. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it's blamed on Fred. And then Clyde's like, perfect scapegoat. No administrative backup. Click, click. Strike two. There's so much stuff that happens that's not crucial here. But we see Kathy Bates again, and we're like, oh my gosh, I am so glad Kathy Bates is not my mother. Oh my gosh. In this movie,
she's not Kathy Bates, Mrs. Grandma Claus.
Yeah, Grandma Claus, as played by Kathy Bates. And in the midst of this, one of the ideas that Clyde has is to have an intervention.
For Fred.
Which, again, Fred's not the exact problem here.
Mm-mm.
And so we get Grandma and Grandpa Claus. We get Santa and Mrs. Claus. We have the psychiatrist.
And
we have Wanda. Who's just, again, Rachel plays it absolutely perfectly.
Flabbergasted as to why just she's like, there.
Why I'm here. And oh, your brother Santa, okay. And of course, Fred takes the mature road and decides to lambaste Wanda for dating the guy who picked her up.
Yeah.
And of course, it's a movie. So,
but that's all he cares about, though, at the intervention. He just wants to talk to Wanda about the guy who asked her out.
And not talk about it, but like insult her in as many ways as possible.
Yes.
Which, again, in real life, Wanda should have been on that date the next night.
Right.
But it's a movie, so she said no for some stupid reason.
Uh-huh.
Things just boil over. They have this running tracker of who's the top 10 naughtiest kids in the world. And so the top naughtiest kid becomes Slam. What's happened is that Slam's father flat out died. And so his mom couldn't cope with it.
Previously.
Yeah. And so...
Because there's a scene before Fred leaves where the CPS comes in.
Yeah, Child Protective Services pick him up and says, hey, by the way, he doesn't have...
A dad
and the mom is not providing a safe home.
Yeah.
And so he's got to go to the orphanage. And so, Slim's acting like a bit of a jerk, partially off of the advice that Fred gave him about how horrible Santa is.
Well, that's what he's repeating exactly what Fred told him before he left.
Yeah.
About
and
how
so,
Santa's a megalomaniac.
That's kind of done it for Fred. And especially since he knows Slam, he just looks at his folder and just takes the nice stamp and just bam. He's nice. And then he just looks at all the paperwork around him and every kid
is nice.
He marks as nice. Mm-hmm. Which makes a lot of sense psychologically because, well, yeah, of course he sees them as nice because Fred can relate to all of them. And he knows that they're not evil. They're just been in really bad situations.
Naughty kids aren't naughty. Like Slam, of course he's going to act out because he doesn't have a dad and he got pulled out of his home.
Yeah, and
so
who knows where mom
naughty.
Is. And
he is reacting to his environment.
Yeah.
And Fred can empathize with that because that's where he came from.
Yeah, and so we'll talk more about the theme later on, but yeah,
okay.
so he stamps all the folders like nice, 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 which completely ruins the operation because there's no way that they can make all those toys in time. And so that turns into a big fight between Santa and Fred in the middle of the snow-covered streets. They're fine like brothers when you're like 10
mm-hmm.
or 11, and they're both clearly in their 40s. As they're laying in the snow, both aching, Santa confesses to Fred that Northcutt is not an efficiency. He's not from HR. He's here to shut me down.
Mm-hmm.
And you've basically done the thing that will shut me down.
You have basically nailed my coffin.
Yeah. The brothers seem irrevocably broken. Fred is in the sleigh, getting ready to go back to Chicago. Mrs. Claus comes up with the envelope with the check for $50,000. And she says he doesn't deserve it, but Nick has given him a present anyway. Once home, Fred's in his apartment. It looks at the card, and the card says, sorry I cut down your tree. And he opens up the present, and it's a birdhouse for Chirp Chirp.
This movie makes me cry like so much.
So Fred goes to a siblings anonymous meeting.
Oh my god.
Which again was obviously the pitch of the movie. This is what made the movie get made.
Yeah.
And so they have Bill Clinton's brother, Sylvester Stallone's brother, and then out of all the Baldwins, they picked Stephen Baldwin, who I think in some ways would have made more sense to do other brothers, because Stephen Baldwin is basically the second most successful Baldwin brother and has his own world going on. Stephen absolutely nailed it. The bottom line is Fred realizes the error of his ways and uses the $50,000 not to buy the off-track betting site, but to get back to the North Pole.
To fly to the North Pole.
As quickly as possible.
On a private.
And then there's Sherpas and there's all this other stuff going on.
Magically makes it back in a day.
Yeah. And as he shows up, well, it's Christmas Eve at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Knocks on Willie's door and says, hey, get all the elves in the shop. The elves are like, what are you doing? There's no way we can make it by Christmas. And he's like, well, okay, look, everyone has to get a toy. And that's what's important. It's not what the toy is.
Right. But that everyone but gets that something.
Someone, everyone knows that someone likes them and is looking out for them. What's the simplest present for a boy and what's the simplest present for a girl? And so baseball bat and hula hoop. Elizabeth Banks.
She's a math whiz.
Is a math whiz.
She's three calculators.
Which... And the most pathetic math problem I've ever seen. Elizabeth Banks is amazing. I love her. She's amazing.
China, Australia.
Yeah, and she's like 5 plus 44. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you're obviously not doing a math equation. What are you doing, Elizabeth? Come on, you're better than that. But she's like, oh, my, well, we can make it.
It's going to be close.
It's going to be close.
I wish I could do math like that.
No, you can't, because she didn't do any sort of math. It was just, I'm just going to say a couple random numbers, because you know it's not on the script. You know, they said, just say something. And so she just said something while clicking numbers real quick. Fred goes over to Nick, who's bedridden.
He threw his back out. He
completely threw his back out.
Can't move.
And so Fred's like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, we're cutting some corners, but we're going to make it. Let's get you up so you can deliver all these presents.
She suited up.
And so Santa is like, I can't. Fred's like, hey,
Willie,
you're up, buddy. And he's like, no, a clause has to do
it. It's a rule.
And so everyone looks at Fred, and Fred's like, can I talk to Santa for a second? Everybody leaves the room, and Fred's like, I don't like heights. And we've established that through the movie. I don't like heights. I can't do this. Partially, yeah, he hates riding the sled.
Oh, okay.
Nick, of course, like the same he is like, no, it's too much. Like, I know it's no one is expecting you to do it, which again is the perfect thing to do in that situation, because it just heaps more and more guilt on Fred. He's not being unreasonable. It's like, yes, this is a horrendously difficult thing to do,
and I
would never ask you to do it. And that's where Fred hits him with the speech about how there's no bad kids.
And
there's just
really
kids.
Nick.
Yeah, kids are just put in sometimes are just put in really difficult situations, yeah. And don't know what to do and don't know how to act. So of course. Fred suits up. And Clyde is still around, but he tries to stop them.
He's
in the midst
shut
of
it down, and he's like, what's happening? Why are you trying to do this? I've already shut you down.
So basically, once Fred's in the air, he shuts him down again. That's when Santa Nick hobbles over with like a cane to Clyde and says, oh, yeah, Clyde Northcutt, you know, you were on the naughty list, and you asked me for a Superman's cape.
And he has glasses.
Yeah, and he has glasses. You were called Four-Eyed Clyde, and he's getting bullied a lot, and so... You wanted the Superman cape because you thought you could stand up to them. But I didn't give you one, so I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And Merry Christmas. And so Clyde gets his cape.
He gives him a Superman cape.
Which he puts on. Which is really funny from a geek perspective, because in 2006,
okay.
Kevin Spacey played Lex Luthor, who's Superman's nemesis. And so it was weird for someone to be Lex Luthor and then... Superman portraying the good guy and portraying the bad guy of the same franchise within a year of each other. So of course,
the dichotomy of the juxtaposition of the
sibilance. Fred of course saves Christmas. They walk in and Willie kicks down the workshop doors and walks over to Elizabeth Banks, picks up a chair, and then sexually assaults her in front of everybody.
He does that.
He gives a big kiss, which he isn't into at first, and then is kind of into. So Fred gets to take Wanda to Paris with the company car. Because
it's one of the perks.
And then Clyde is hired by Santa to work with them to make sure that they never miss a Christmas. And then at the end, we have kind of like a family gathering like a year or so later. Mrs. Claus and Santa are doing great, and Grandma and Grandpa are doing great, and Wanda and Fred are doing great, and then we kind of pull out of the living room, past the window, and we see a birdhouse, and then Chirp Chirp shows up right outside the window. And Slam gets adopted by a family, but Fred is his little league coach. So that is Fred Claus. The movie is all about Vince Vaughn. If you liked Wedding Crashers and Swingers, I mean, he's playing that same character a little bit more. On the negative side at first. He kind of starts off as Swingers and ends up as the Wedding Crashers character, basically, is his arc through the movie. Very heavily improvised. So I find it funny, but he also repeats some of the jokes over and over again, and he's like kind of vamping. So I think that all the characters was very well cast. One of the only negatives to me was the whatever computer technology they used for the elves, like Ludacris, never looks natural. I think there's some scenes they filmed with just the actors in costumes and then oversized things around them. and they look normal.
Well, I do want to say that I really appreciated that they used actual adults that were small instead of children. I hate when they use children as elves and try to say that they're like thousands of years old.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I should have been in this movie.
You should have, yes. So, yeah, so I think it's kind of a fun movie, kind of done on the lark. I think Paul Giamatti is great with that version of Santa Claus. He's just taking what Vince gives him and gives it right back to him in a way that's completely in character. Mm-hmm. The thing I find interesting about the movie is the general theme. I agree with like 95% of it. And it reminded me a lot about being a teacher. You need to teach these kids. And are these kids difficult to teach sometimes? Yeah, at all levels, whether it's AP or regular or whatever. Some of the kids are very difficult to work with. My philosophy is that I have to treat them like they're a good kid. They've got the potential to be good and that they are good. Deep down, and it's a decision they got to make. I don't see this as a hey, it doesn't matter, everybody should get everything they want for Christmas thing. No. I really liked how they kind of slipped in with that as well, is that every person needs to know that there's someone rooting for them.
Right.
There's someone who sees the goodness in them. Anyway, final rating. I'll give one thumbs up and then one thumb in the middle for this one.
Was it not as bad as you thought it was
going to
be?
I like the redemption arc. I'm a goody two-shoes, so I have issues with the jerk just gets to win because he's a jerk. I usually don't like those types of movies, but we'll see with the movie that I've got coming up.
Yeah, I don't understand you.
So I am complex.
I don't like this movie. I like this one.
I'm a mosaic and an onion.
Okay, I'm just a cog in a wheel. So we watched Bad Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And would you like to hear my pitch?
Or do you want
to
do...
Oh, I have to ask you if it held up. We haven't done this podcast in 6 months, so... So, Keith, how did Bad Santa hold up the second time you watched it?
So, I think it was excellent because you knew it was a rated R movie about a mall Santa who's just a horrible person. Mm-hmm. You know what you're getting when you walk into it. There's going to be... There is a bit of a Christmas story in it, which is good. But it's also just like you have to know going in, there's lots of cursing and like no one's a good person basically in this whole movie. Everyone's got very serious flaws. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like the Coen brothers do Christmas.
All right.
With some improv.
It's like the night the reindeer died.
There.
From Scrooge.
There you go.
Last year, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So would you like to hear my pitch for this movie?
Yeah, what was your pitch?
Why putting your hand over your face? A suicidal alcoholic crook uses his job as a mall Santa as cover to the perfect crime until an unlikely friendship with a bullied kid makes him second guess his life choices and causes him to care about something other than himself. So we start in a bar. Billy Bob Thornton plays Willie Soak. By the way, all the names in this movie have to be original people's names from somewhere that someone knows because they're all very weird.
They're all very weird and very Coen brother-esque.
Mm.
So
I did read something that said the Coen brothers were some sort of involved.
That would make sense because it totally felt like a Coen brothers movie.
Okay, we'll have to look that up. So he is a depressed alcoholic mall Santa. I don't know if you remember this, Keith, but you and I got to be in a show about mall Santas called Bearded.
Wonderful show.
And it wasn't at all like this movie.
No.
However, we did get to sing Last Christmas as if we were drunk karaoke singers.
Yep, and then making off as we stumbled off a stage.
Well, we made out. We didn't make off.
We made out as we made off the stage.
So anyways, Willie is narrating as he's sitting at the bar. We hear a voiceover narration where he talks about his life and how he's been in some really crappy situations. I mean, he's been divorced a few times. He's been to prison once. His dad is an awful person. But if he knew that he would have to put up with screaming brats peeing on his lap, he would have killed himself a long time ago. And you know what?
He still might.
Cut to Willie sitting on Santa's throne in a mall. And we have Marcus, who's played by Tony Cox, as his elf. And he's just taken an awful picture of a woman's child, played by Alex Borstein, which she's in the movie a total of 20 seconds, but she gets a credit at the opening of the movie.
It's basically a featured extra, but she nails it.
Well, it's funny. There's a couple of Mad TV folks in this movie. So, yeah. You know, I used to work at a kid's portrait studio for about 6 hellish months of my life. And I took photos that were as bad as the photo.
That photo was pretty bad, though.
I had a photo that I ended up just taking home because it was so bad we couldn't sell it. It was the kid was sitting there, and you could see the chain from where you, like, pull the backdrops up and down. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like I'd focused on the chain. So Willie interacts with several children, and we see right off that he's absolutely horrible with them. He berates them for their gift requests. He tells a little girl who wants a drum set that her old man will really like that. And he tells the girl who asks for a bike that she's real original. I think he says, yeah, it's real effing original. Willie's been taking swigs of booze this whole time. And by the end of his shift, he's so drunk that he pees himself.
And only pees himself, doesn't care that he pees himself.
So it's Christmas Eve, and everyone leaves the store, and the security guard arms the alarm. And Marcus has disguised himself in a Frosty costume. When the coast is clear, he jumps into action, and he disarms the alarm. He lets Willie back in, and they go to work. And Marcus has a list with specific items that he seems to be shopping for. Like, he's got, like, something that I would make up for you for Christmas. Like, hey, this is a picture of it, and this is the link to where it came. So he's shopping.
Those are very helpful.
Yeah. He's doing this while Willie is drilling the safe with a drill until it opens. So the getaway driver is Marcus's wife, Lois, who's played by Lauren Tom. Mm-hmm. She's from the Joy Luck Club. Mm. And she's the reason that Marcus is shopping for luxury items very carefully. So Willie and Marcus stop at a bar and argue about how Willie is slowing the operation down and how he's just a sloppy drunk. And Willie says that, you know, he just might quit the scam and quit drinking, and he'll buy a bar on the beach in Florida, and he won't drink, but he'll, like, have this bar. And Marcus is like, okay, I bet that you're gonna just drink it all away, and then when I call you next year, if I call you next year, you're gonna be doing backflips when you hear from me, because you're gonna be so desperate for the money. So fast forward, it's a few months before Christmas, and Willie is in Florida. He's sporting a Hawaiian shirt, khaki slacks, preppy loafers. He's on a beach. He's behind the bar. He's chopping some limes. And I was like, okay, this is fishy. Sure enough, he's making himself a drink. And the real bar owner shows up. And he's yelling at Willie to get out of the bar. So the bar owner is Brian Callen. He's from Mad TV. Mm-hmm. And you may know him from, he was the Vegas minister in The Hangover.
Yeah, no, he's been in lots of things.
He's been in a ton of things.
Yeah,
he's also in The Goldbergs. He plays the PE coach.
Yeah, and he's sort of like, I can't believe I have to tell you again. Willie's done this many times.
Right. To get a drink. The bartender punches him and he tosses him over the counter. So then Willie walks over to the valet and he swipes a bunch of keys. And he's walking through the parking lot and he's pushing the panic buttons on each set of keys. And each car that he doesn't feel is good enough for him, he just throws the keys.
By the car, at least.
By the car.
Which was funny because I'm
under
like...
Under the car.
Yeah, it's like a valet may believe, oh, I oopsed once, but he'd like, there's four cars.
Four sets. Till finally, he finds the luxury car of his liking. So he hops in, because it's a convertible, he checks the glove box, and he drives to the address on the registration card, which makes me real nervous about doing valet. After raiding the fridge and dropping a deuce in the toilet, he cracks the safe, and he gets some cash, which he spends at the local strip club and on some $5 lotto scratchers. So his place that he lives at in Florida is a dump, and we learn that he hasn't changed at all. And then Marcus calls.
Oh, and his car is horrendous.
It's a rust bucket.
It's a rust bucket. Like seriously, like 80% rust. I'm not sure if that car would actually drive.
Well, when they panned past the front of his residence and there was several cars, and I knew which one it was.
Mm-hmm. It was that bad.
So Marcus calls, and he does in fact do backflips almost, the chance to do one more scam. And this time it's in Phoenix, which... I just was, like, getting hot looking at it.
It's a great opening shot. It looks like it's 200
degrees. Oh, my gosh. It does. It looks like it's 200
They do the
degrees.
Wavy stuff with the...
Yeah, the wavy heat lines. As Marcus and Willie do a slow walk through the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And Willie is smoking a cigarette, and he's chugging the last little bit of a hard liquor bottle. And then he takes it, tosses it, and it... breaks the windshield of a car, and a car alarm goes
like a
off.
BMW or something. Like, I don't know much about cars, but I know that was a nice car that they fully blew out the windshield for.
And Marcus yells at him, can you keep it together for like 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. And that made me laugh. Then we meet Bob Chepeska, I believe is how you say it, played by John Ritter. Mm-hmm. And this was actually his last movie appearance. Mm-hmm. I did not know. He died on September 11th, like 2003, but that's
And this movie sad. Came out like in 2003,
it
right?
It did. It came out a couple months after he died. Yeah. So they actually dedicated the movie to him.
I just got to say, he was hilarious. Oh, in this. I mean, it's not like a total scene stealer, but he is no, just, he's a man whose butt is like halfway on pucker all the time. You're like, you have serious issues. I don't know what they are.
He was very James Spader in Mannequin.
Just very associate manager of the mall. Yes. Just a mess.
Spells out the cuss words that he hears later. As we meet him, he is letting the resident Santa go because he's hired Willie and Marcus because they gave him fake credentials. And that is played by Tom McGowan, Keith's old friend.
Old friend and colleague at the La Jolla Playhouse for our town.
Were you in our town? Or?
No, I wasn't in our town. No, I was.
So it's kind of more like when.
More like he was on the stage and I was working like for PR. Okay. So just to be very clear.
Got it.
So
it was more like when I was at the Playhouse and Daryl Hammond was doing a show at the Playhouse.
Yeah, except I met him. I met him. We did lunch there. That was funny because Michael Greif was coming off of Rent and so he was directing, and so. Like a horrible person, every time I saw him, I said, "Hey, Michael, how you doing?" And he'd always go like, Fine, Keith, how you doing? I'm like, I'm doing great. And I'm like, Michael Greif knows who I am.
That's kind of like my parasocial relationship with Christopher Ashley, because he doesn't know my name, but he knows my face.
There you go. Yeah.
He's always like, oh, hey, how you doing? So Willie is already drunk when they walk in, and he is leering at a young woman's body parts when Marcus introduces him to Bob. And he makes a very strange comment about his sexual performance, and everyone's a little confused. But Marcus blames it on low blood sugar. So Willie is already screwing things up because he is, like I said, he's just drunk and he's passed out backstage. So Marcus drags Willie out to Santa's throne, and a parade of children sit on Willie's lap, and he proceeds to curse them all out. Meanwhile, a bus pulls up, and a portly child of about 9 gets off. And he has snot coming out of his nose, and he's wearing Tevas. Poor little kid. So he's walking, and the group of skateboard bullies hurls insults at him and a can at his head. And he just completely ignores them, and he seems unfazed as he marches onto the Saguaro Mall to see Santa. So when he gets to the front of the line, he just kind of stands there, doesn't say anything. And Willie yells at him, and he calls him a mongoloid. It's so sad. And the kid, comes over and he sits down on his lap, and finally he kind of pulls his beard and he asks him why his beard isn't real, and Willie tells him it's because I loved an unclean woman. And the kid says,
Mrs. Claw?
Mrs. Santa? And he says,
no, her sister.
And that is our first movie quote that you get to guess.
Oh, okay.
We didn't do that for Pringles. We forgot.
Yeah.
It's okay. So the kid proceeds to ask him questions to death until he explodes in anger and curses him out.
This kid is like unfazed by everything.
Everything.
Like, I don't know what the diagnosis would be, but he just like is in his own world and asks 5 million questions like all the time.
And just enrages him.
Enrages Willie's character.
All the time. Yes. So after work, Willie heads to, surprise, surprise, a bar. And Samir from Office Space is glaring at him from across the room. And he's like, what? And then the bartender, which apparently is named Sue. I did not know that until I looked it up.
I don't know if they ever said them.
I don't think they did because I didn't know her name. It's Lauren Graham, who is supposed to be cute, fun, and flirty, I guess. But she just did not work for me in this movie. It didn't make any sense to me.
So she needs to be cute and a bit flirty. But if you're going to have her believably kind of fall for the Willie character, she has to have some issues herself.
Yeah.
And so it's like...
I just saw Gilmore Girls. That's all I saw. Yeah. I've never seen Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, I haven't either. So I actually thought for this movie, I thought she was an excellent love interest. And they just make her kind of like... Like a little flawed, you know, it's like, you know.
Because she's got a Santa fetish.
Yeah, she's just kind of weird. Well, I mean, it's obviously written by a guy for guys. And so it's like, okay, yeah. So a guy who's a loser.
Hot girl.
Yeah. She's too hot to fall for him in real life. Mm-hmm. but she's not like dressed up like a supermodel.
She just seemed too girl next door, so I just didn't get it. So they end up fornicating in the front seat of Willie's jalopy, and Sue goes back to work, and all of a sudden, Samir from Office Space comes out of nowhere and yells at him that he's not gay, and he starts to yell gay insults at him, and then he's like starts attacking him, and I'm like, what is this scene? What is this scene?
This was a hint that it's a Coen's Brothers
movie. I was like, what is going on right now?
There's a couple moments, but it is so random. Clearly, Samir is having some issues with Santa and with attraction to other men. He's taking it out on Willie, saying he doesn't have any of these feelings. But then who comes and saves the day?
Well, so then the kid comes out of nowhere and attacks Samir from Office Space. And I was like, well, that means that he was watching what was happening in the front. Anyway, so Willie is flabbergasted as to why the kid is there and drives him home. But this is the only time. He's not his effing dad. So in the car, the kid hits Willie with another barrage of questions, mm-hmm. like about why Santa needs a car if he has reindeer and how Santa cares for the reindeer at the North Pole. And Willie, again, is exploding angrily and cussing at him. And he asks him if he got dropped on his head. And mm-hmm. he says,
my head.
And then Willie says, yeah, are they going to drop you on someone else's head? And then he says,
how would I get dropped on my head?
I kind of did drop me on my own head.
This was so random.
Begets a pattern of question, explosion, mm-hmm. cussing.
Willie is doing this off the top of his head. And one of the reasons he keeps exploding is the kid keeps finding holes in his story. Because he's like, well, how did the reindeer sleep? Well, they sleep in the stable. Oh, where's the stable? Oh, behind the toy factory. Really? Then how do they sleep? What do you mean? Well, the toy factory is going, so how do they sleep through all the noise?
It's not open during the night.
It's not, and yeah.
I thought they worked all day. But I thought it's like sometimes when I have a conversation with our child and I'm not in the mood, I don't explode and cuss at her.
No, you don't.
I just go, why don't you play on your iPad? So Willie asks if anyone else lives in this big house that they are walking up to. And we find out that his mom probably died because he tells him that she lives in God's house with Mary and Joseph and the ghost and a bunch of other weird stuff that he says.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad is exploring mountains for the next year. So he lives with his very senile grandmother, who is played by Cloris Leachman, who offers to make him some sandwiches, despite the fact that he's just put on a balaclava mask, like he's going to rob the place. But then he realizes that he probably doesn't need it because she's senile and there's nobody else around. So the kid shows him around. They find his dad safe, and Willie helps himself to some cash, and then also the BMW that's in the garage. So one afternoon, Bob is walking through the ladies' big and tall section, and he hears a woman screaming. And so he gets closer, and he then hears a man moaning and cussing in the changing room. So Bob meets with Marcus and Willie to let them go because of that incident, but they warn him that he's going to have a swarm of African-American little people picketing his mall if he fires them.
With little megaphones and everything.
Everything was little. Little megaphones and little signs. So Bob backtracks and assures Marcus that he has no problem with you people. Needless to say, they get to keep their jobs. So Bob goes to the head of mall security. His name's Jin. He's played by Bernie Mac, R.I.P. He explains how he caught Willie fornicating in the dressing room with a big and tall woman, and he's concerned about the children, and he asks if Jin can find something on Willie. So Willie comes home to find that someone is in his hotel room, and Oscar-winning Octavia Spencer, who is playing a sex worker, confirms that she saw a guy, probably a cop, going into his room. So he decides to pay a visit to the kid. And the kid is all excited because he's hoping that Santa has come to bring him a present. And he wants a pink elephant, by the way. And Willie tells him that things are real bad at the North Pole because Mrs. Santa caught him with her sister. So he's going to be staying at the house for a while. And there's this ridiculous scene where Willie is trying to take a bath. The kid is sitting at his feet, asking him more questions about the reindeer.
There's lots of bubbles in the scene, just so we know. Still incredibly awkward.
When he keeps asking, he's just trying to relax, and he's just like, just asking question after question about the reindeer. And so, of course, Willie gets angry and explodes and cusses him out. But as usual, this doesn't seem to faze the child at all. And he just asks if he can make him some sandwiches. And Willie asks him, what the F is up with you and sandwiches? So Willie's trying to sleep, and the kid is standing next to the bed staring at him. And he's asking more questions. Mm-hmm. He wants to know if he wants to check out his advent calendar. And it's like one of those little chocolate ones. He climbs in bed with them, and he reads him the next part of the nativity story that was for that day. And there's the chocolate, so he offers him the chocolate, and he doesn't want it, so he has it. The next day, on their lunch break, Marcus and his wife Lois are yelling at Willie, and because they think that he's gonna ruin the scam for them because he's drunk all the time, and he keeps hitting on girls and young girls, and he's just like drawing too much attention. So they leave in a huff, and this woman walks up to Willie, and he's got his mouth full of salad, and he's eating like a camel. Have you ever seen my camel impression when I eat salad? It's really messy.
Okay.
But it's basically that.
Okay.
So if you see that scene, that's my camel impression. Mm-hmm. So she's got her very small child with her, and she's like, oh, look, it's Santa! And she walks up to him, and she's excited to talk to Santa, and Willie yells obscenities at her, and lettuce is coming out of his mouth, and he yells that he's on his effing break.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was really worried about the poor child because he was really young, but he seems to kind of be laughing a little bit, so I think maybe they prepped him.
That was one of the weird things about this, is there's so much cursing around the 9-year-old. And then with that little kid.
Well, and the kid's in line to see Santa. So we have a brief scene where Jin busts the kid who's shoplifting, and then we go back to Willie at home, and he's playing checkers with the kid. Kid keeps making moves and then taking him back, and making moves and taking him back. And you know we're going to have an explosion. So Willie yells at him, and the kid, is it checkmate? Did he checkmate him? I don't know what checkers is.
What? Yeah. So if you get from your side of the board to the last line of the other board. Then you can be kinged, and so you add another checker, and that way you can jump both forward and backward.
I don't know what you're saying, but okay, he wins.
Doesn't win.
He does like a smart move.
Does this? He knocks out like three of Willie's players and says, "King me!" And
Willie erupts and asking if the kid
flips the table.
And he's like, "Literally. Are you effing with me?" He's like, "One minute you're acting like dead lights are falling off you, and then all of a sudden you're playing like."
Like a shadow hawk?
Seabiscuit.
Like Seabiscuit. There you go.
So, unfazed.
Mm-hmm.
Completely unfazed. So, Sue comes over, and they do it in the spa while Grandma watches infomercials. Again, he is drunk out of his mind, but Sue is into him. I don't know why. And so, after Sue leaves, he grabs the advent calendar off of the hall table, and he just starts like tearing into it and getting all the chocolate and eating all the chocolate, and he's like destroyed the advent calendar. The next morning, all of a sudden, the kids start screaming, and he's running around the house, and his hands are just bloody, and Willie's trying to figure out what's going on, and the kid's hands are bleeding, and so he's like, oh, well, let me like help you with that. So he's got some vodka, and he just like pours it on the kid's hand, and the kid freaks out, and he goes, oh, I forgot to mention that it was gonna hurt for just like a little second. And then he drinks the vodka, and does he take the kid to the ER? No, he goes to work, but not before he notices the wreckage that was done to the advent calendar, and he's like, oh man. So later on, while Willie makes bologna tostadas,
which are absolutely horrible,
the kid finds his advent calendar, and he's like, I think someone's messed with it. He's like, what are you talking about? What's fine? He holds it up, and it's very clearly been taped the crap out of. And so he goes to open the one for the day, and he's like, oh, it's got a candy corn in it. To which Willie says,
they can't all be winners, kid.
And then later on, he opens another one, and it's like a NyQuil.
Yeah. It's like, why is there an aspirin?
Meanwhile, Jin has run the plates on Willie's borrowed car, and he finds out the owner, who's actually the kid's father, he's in prison for embezzlement. And so he figures out what Willie is up to, but he tells Bob, the John Ritter's character, that, oh man, you know, he's completely clean as a whistle. And I was like, that's suspicious. Mm-hmm. I bet he wants to cut in on the action. So the kid making another trip to the mall runs into the skateboarding bullies again. And this time, they give it, what is it, an atomic wedgie that they give him, or just a regular wedgie?
It is the worst wedgie I've ever seen in my life. And the kid is portly, and so it's like over his belly.
Yeah.
On both, and on the back, you can see the rips in the underwear.
So he shows up and sees Willie, and Willie gets mad at him that he allows himself to be bullied. He cusses at him again. So then he leaves. So then Jin meets with Marcus and Willie because he's decided that he's going to blackmail them, and he wants half of the take. So Willie has another drunk episode at the mall, and he thrashes a stuffed reindeer, and everybody leaves. Jin promises to smooth things over with Bob, and he tells Marcus to go get Willie out of there. But Marcus yells at him that it's physically impossible for him to carry a blacked-out, full-sized man.
Draw me a picture.
It's physics, man!
Such a funny rant by Tony Cox, who is amazing in this movie.
Yeah. So Willie's at the end of his rope, and he takes a hose and he tapes it to the exhaust of the car, and he's, you know, basically sitting in the garage waiting for death. When the kid walks in, and Willie tells him, when the cops come to bag Santa, give him this letter. And it tells all the bad things it had done. Then he notices that the kid has a black eye, which makes him angry. Gets out of there, and he goes, and he beats up the skateboard bully. And this makes him feel really good. He feels like he's turned a corner. Feels good about himself, and he decides he's going to help train the kid to defend himself, which devolves into a ball-kicking fight with Marcus as the opponent.
I remembered the scene vaguely, but it was so funny. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to have balls to understand how funny that is, but you were just, like, cackling.
Oh, I was rolling. I almost fell off the couch.
You did. So then Sue comes over again, and as they start their hump session, the kid walks through the open door, and he gives Willie the gift that he'd been working on when he cut his hand, and it's a wooden pickle, and it's stained with his blood. And
yeah, because Willie's like, why'd you paint it brown? He's like, I didn't paint it brown. That's my blood that I, when I cut my hand making it.
And then he says, so long, Mrs. Santa's sister. And yeah. He goes, I was with an unclean woman. So the next day, the kid hands Willie his report card, and he asks for reassurance that he did good in school. And we learn that his name is Thurman Merman, and he is a solid C student.
With one B.
Oh, did he get one B?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that. That's why he says, I never got a B.
Mm-hmm.
So Thurman makes a derogatory comment about himself, which surprised me. And then Willie explodes in anger again. Surprise. Yelling at him about why does he let people bully him and why does he bully himself. And he yells at him that there is no Santa. And Thurman says, well, he knows there's no Santa. He just thought Willie might get him a present because they're friends. And I was like, oh. So it takes a very dark turn after this because Marcus and Lois murder Jin. By pretending their van needs a jump, and then they crush him between their two vehicles. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that they were murdering him. I thought they were just going to, like, threaten him. But apparently they murdered him.
No, once you sandwich someone between two cars, you have to kill him at that point because that's manslaughter or something. You know, so he's definitely going to tell on you.
Yeah. Well, so he dies. Fast forward, it's Christmas Eve, and Sue comes over to help Willie, Grandma, and Thurman celebrate. Willie heads to the mall for the hit. But not before Thurman offers to make him a bunch of sandwiches with a normal amount of lettuce.
How much lettuce do you want?
I don't know.
A normal amount?
A normal amount. You decide. And when it comes time for Willie to crack the safe, he realizes that it's a Kittner boy reduped.
I don't know either.
One he's been told can't be cracked. And then I was like, well, shouldn't they have scoped that safe out long before this moment?
You would think.
It'll just take some time. So Marcus goes about his wife's Christmas list. There is a, like, mink stole that is on a very tall mannequin that is on a step up, and he can't get at it. I turned to you and I said, welcome to my life. Because then he takes a putter. He tries to get it with the putter, and that doesn't work. I am a small human being, and when I'm at the grocery store, something's on the top shelf and I can't get at it, I just take another item and throw it at the item that I want, and then they both come down. Sometimes you get hit in the head with the other one, or you can climb into the back of the cart. I've done that, so I get it. Finally, Willie gets the safe to crack open, and Marcus is starting to load up the cash, and Willie says, hey, I'll be right back, I'm gonna get something, and he goes downstairs. He's going to grab the pink elephant that Thurman asked for. As Willie grabs the elephant, we hear the click of a gun, and Marcus and Lois feel that Willie is too much of a liability, and they're going to take him out, just like they did with Jin. But in the nick of time, a swarm of police, having received the letter that Willie told Thurman to give the cops, surrounded them, and guns are blazing, and Willie escapes, determined to get the kid's present to him. So he races to Thurman's house with police in pursuit, and as he runs up the walkway, he's hit in the back by a hail of police bullets. He falls to the ground, and he has the pink elephant, and he shoves it all the way up to the porch, and then he, like, passes out. You think he dies.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to the pink elephant with some minor blood stains, and we hear Willie narrating, voiceover, a letter that he wrote to Thurman. He hopes that the elephant hasn't been confiscated by the cops and that there isn't too much blood on it, although Thurman's present had a lot of blood on it, and it did not stop him from enjoying it. Amazingly, he survived the 8 gunshot wounds because none of them hit any major organs, and he set things up so that Sue can stay with Thurman and be his guardian until his father gets out of prison. And because, you know, she really likes the kid and the house and the jacuzzi, so it's all going to work out. He's in a hospital and he's going to get released from the hospital because of immunity? I don't know. So Thurman goes outside and he's getting ready to get on his bike, and all of a sudden the skateboarding bully shows up again. And the bully threatens him because he knows that Willie isn't around right now. And so Thurman kicks the kid in the balls and he rides off into the sunset with his finger blazing.
Wearing the shirt that Willie got on that said, "Hey, stuff happens when you take your clothes off," or something like that. You know what you normally get for a 9-year-old.
Right. So that's bad Santa. So I'm not a prude, but I mean, for the love of God, all the F words being just were tossed around was just like nails on a chalkboard to me. I would have a hard time suggesting it to some people. I was really uncomfortable with him screaming insults and cussing at children. I don't think that I would let my child be a part of that production.
No, I wouldn't either.
It's just made me really uncomfortable. Just thinking about the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this movie might be a trigger for people who grew up in abusive households. So there were some really ridiculous moments and some really good snappy dialogue that was, you know, funny and clever. I do not understand, as I said before, the relationship between Sue and Willie. It doesn't make any sense to me why she would be attracted to him. I feel like a more grizzled woman who has, like, no self-respect or teeth would have been a better match for him.
She did look a little bit like a soccer mom. Little bit.
I don't think they went overboard with his redemption arc. It was like very slight. And things were not happily ever after, but it was believably a little more okayer. So that's basically all I have to say.
You brought up a really good point that, you know, again, to me, I think the movie's hilarious because all of that stuff is so far gone. Anything I would accept in public, or so far gone from anything I've lived through in my life, that to me, it's just funny because it's so ridiculous. But if I saw it in real life, or if I experienced it in real life, it'd be like, that's not funny.
It's too hard for me being a mom to receive this movie.
Oh, okay. So that doesn't sound good for the final rating. What's the final rating for it?
So I'm going to have to give it a thumb down and a thumb in the middle.
Oh, okay.
But first a thumb down.
Okay, first the thumb down.
And then the thumb
in the middle. Then the thumb in the middle.
Yeah, we can't all be winners. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah, I think this was funny because the movies were really kind of similar, like we were thinking. It's like kind of Santa misbehaving or somebody screwing up with Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
But like Fred Claus is definitely for PG 13 maybe, but
it's
Santa-centric. Yeah, you could watch it with kids, you could watch it with anybody, and they'd probably like it. Whereas Bad Santa is a hilarious movie, but no kids, nobody.
You can't watch it with anybody but yourself.
Yeah, yeah, or people of similar mind who want to see a funny.
You gotta go to a frat house.
A dark Coen Brothers.
But you gotta bring a gallon of water. Because they carry gallons of water around for some reason.
What are we talking about?
For gains.
Oh, okay, for growth. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, our bodies are 70% water, as is our muscle. So, you know, that's why they hydrate so much, as they're trying to get jacked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I liked watching Christmas movies with you. It's our favorite time.
It's our favorite time.
Of the year, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but you never want to watch Christmas movies with us. You always leave.
I know, well, that too. I usually work on your game.
So what are you talking about?
I'm complex.
So we were talking about maybe doing another like Christmassy movie. We again realized that there really are no New Year's Eve movies. I mean, there's movies that happen during New Year's Eve. So then we were like, let's just go with the old list. Mm-hmm. You know, Keith's like, we got to get these Marvel movies out. So he suggested Guardians of the Galaxy, but then when he looked at it, it's like 10, 15 movies away.
I did my beautiful mind thing where put all the things up and put the strings and was like, okay, what's going to make the most sense to Corey?
Okay, so you're going to make me watch
Chips, which I was very surprised by. I've only seen it once. Came out like in 2017 and
you
I saw it in 2018.
Once?
I know. No, shocking, right?
My eyes are rolling.
And it was one of those movies where I was like, this is a horrible movie, but I like it.
Like, how did this get made bad?
Not quite that bad. I remember watching it going like, okay, they had a lot of fun making that movie.
Yeah. It's got Michael Peña in it, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and Dax Shepard.
So much.
Yeah.
That's a rave.
Oh, from Dora.
Remember from Dora.
Let's go!
Get it!
So, and then you are going to make me watch...
Beavis and Butthead do America! Finally! It's only been like since the
beginning of the podcast.
It's always on the list.
For years before the podcast. It's one of the movies that made us do the podcast. I saw Beavis and Butthead a little bit when I was younger, but I just didn't.
Keith, we have a picture from Comic-Con of us sitting with Beavis and Butthead.
Well, yeah, because it's a pop-up, a camera pop-up. Okay. But yes.
Where's your integrity?
At Comic-Con, that goes right out the window. Wait, free stuff? Okay, sure, I love your movie. So we don't know which of our appliances is going to break next.
Right.
Or when we might need to move or something like that.
So far, would we already tell everybody that the fridge broke? We didn't have a fridge for 12 days.
And did we have a washer go out for...
Oh, the dishwasher broke. So then we didn't have a dishwasher for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then the dryer caught on fire with actual flames.
Uh-huh. And then the washer was out for a week or 2 weeks?
So then the washer broke. It was making a sound like a screaming jet plane. And then when I opened the door, smoke came out. But don't worry, because none of the smoke alarms went off. Oh, and our water heater broke. Mm-hmm. And we're waiting for a new one right now.
But it's important to note that you might be thinking, why are you saying all those things if you're going to be trying to sell your house soon? And the thing is, this is all going to be fixed and new. So
we're
helping you.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate it that you do. And hopefully you can go to our Facebook and
we have an Instagram page and tell your friends about us. But more importantly, if you could give us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts, that would be awesome. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Valentine's Day, winter solstice, all of the holidays that we missed. What else did we miss? Halloween.
Thanksgiving.
All
right. Well, we'll see you at Groundhog Day.
With Kevin Spacey's in it. But he was also in the other one we had to watch with Kaiser Soze.
Usual Suspects.
Yeah, that one.
No idea what that was, but.
That was that guy.
Are you feeling okay?
Out of the coma, and he was yelling, "Kaiser Soze!" You don't remember that?
No.
That was my favorite part of the movie.
I would remember when an Irish geriatric person would have a seizure in the middle of a movie saying Kaiser Soze.
Why is he Irish?
I don't know. You tell me.
He was Russian, wasn't he?
Well, that accent was very Irish that I thought I just heard. Kaiser Soze.
That's not what I did.
I know. That's not what. That would be a Russian. Kaiser Soze took my lucky charms.
That also is not what I did.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, I did make a latte for Benjamin Netanyahu one time.
Yeah, before being accused of a war crime, we should probably stop.
That was when people liked him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't control the famous people I make lattes for, Keith.
I like how I did not accuse you at all, and you went straight to victim.